Meeting order, Brown County Board of Commissioners. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You bow with me for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunities that we have in this county to make a better life. We pray that the things that are done here would contribute to that cause. Father, we see the world around us is in very much turmoil. We have wars going on and political divisions and a lot of disharmony and everything seems around us. We do pray for those that are involved in the war, both in Israel and Palestine, as well as in Ukraine with the Russians. Father, we hate to see a lot of people die, and it's always a tragedy. But we pray that you'd be with the survivors and be with those who've lost loved ones on both sides. We just thank you that we live in a country where we haven't experienced war in our own backyard, but it's a terrible thing, and I hope it never comes to us. But in all things, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for what you've done and the creation you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I think that's your agenda there.
It is.
Okay. Is there any additions to the agenda or changes?
The employment resolution was added since it has been published to everyone.
Okay, we'll add that.
Okay, that's it.
Service agreement here to approve. Okay,
yeah, but
that's the only thing.
Exactly.
We'll put that, that's the way to get that done right after. Well, you have it on here, don't you? The employment resolution.
Yeah,
okay.
Under good. Additions to agenda.
Yeah, okay, good. So that's fine. Any, I don't think there are any other changes or additions. I don't have any. Okay.
Need to approve the minutes and claims?
Minutes and claims, yes. I looked at the minutes and they seem to be accurate for what happened at the last meeting, as much as it can be put on paper.
I make a motion to approve the minutes and contingent on the claims. Julia's going to look at a little $10 bank charge.
Okay.
Other than that, I make a motion to approve them.
Okay. I second that motion. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes and claims behind us. Contingent on her checking on that bank charge. Now, the status of the courthouse billings.
Here, Jerry. Nobody can hear the meeting. They're trying to listen to it online. They're saying they can't hear the meeting.
They can't hear the meeting.
Uh-oh.
Well,
I had
trouble picking that up.
My microphone's on.
Those are the...
Oh, okay.
He can help with that.
Yeah, okay. Check that out. Oh, can you hear us out there in internet land? I don't know. I don't know if we have a technical advisory here tonight, but
recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Can you hear us now? Anybody give a thumbs up? Can you hear us?
I'm fine.
We can hear you.
Mike said he can hear you. Mike Moga.
You can hear it now?
Okay. Mary Smith says yes.
Okay.
Okay, I think we've got audio going here, so we've done the minutes and the claims in case we weren't broadcasting at that time. So now we're going to go to highway updates with Mr. Mike Magner.
Did you want to talk about these courthouse things?
If you want to, yes, because it was with the claims.
Okay.
I'd like all the monies to be approved.
Yes. Pardon?
I'd like all the monies to be approved.
The ones that have been signed and okay.
Yeah, I thought we just did that, except for the...
That one.
That's six.
Okay. Let me see if I can pull this together real quick.
I think the only thing that we have to actually address at this point in time, other than the contract itself, are the change orders.
That's right.
And we need to approve those. I know we did approve one earlier, which was for the excavation when they ran into bad dirt and had to dig further down and pour concrete.
Yeah, that one's been approved.
That was about $4,700. It was additional.
Anyway, the one from the 137,686.50. That was for 925. We approved that tonight to pay. You want us to go ahead and approve this so you can go ahead and pay that, or we're going to wait until the next commissioner meeting? Is that the 6th of December? The one for the 128?
If you want to approve it, go ahead and approve it, and I'll get it sent out.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, get them their money.
Yeah.
It's October the 23rd, so we're supposed to have it done in 30 days, aren't we? So, actually, we'd be going there a little earlier. I'd like to go ahead and get that approved. The $128,511.90. What we're talking about here is, this was payment number five, the one for $137,686.50. And then this one here was turned in, and it was for $128,511.90. They're wanting their money, and I don't blame them. So I'd like to go ahead and approve them also. The two little add-ons, where'd they go? Right here. We had two change orders. Door hardware. You got ladies listening over there? The door hardware was $211.29. Riggs painting, $1,341. There's added lift rental in that. Lap siding material, finish paint, primer. That was for $1,341. Make a motion we approve the change orders so they can get the money for that. You second it?
I'll second that motion. Any discussion? Question? All in favor? Raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye. I believe that still leaves an outstanding balance of like $377,000 and some change.
Yep.
Okay. So it takes care of that.
Okay. Haven't had too many change orders on this job. The first one, of course, was not unexpected. You start digging in the ground around here, you don't know what you're going to find or get into. They had to spend some extra money digging and pouring concrete to get a foundation. So.
Yeah, I originally thought that was over where the old jail was, but after I spent some time down there, they said that was out in front of the security entrance.
Yeah.
And they think it was from where they might have buried the old courthouse that had caught fire.
Yeah, they found some wood under the ground there. May have been. Who knows what they did in 1874? I don't know.
No, I don't either.
Okay. You good with that then? Okay. Now, Mike, go ahead with you.
Okay. Good evening. Just some quick updates.
already sent Jerry a message, but crew from Milestone finished up paving on Elkinsville Road today about 4 o'clock. So that one's finished. That was kind of a leftover project from the summer, so we got that one worked in before the holidays and before they decided to shut down. So it, nice weather turned out nice. Looks good.
Let me get this straight. You paved the Elkinsville Road? Half a mile or something, or how much?
Just that first part from the story end back to where we had ground up. We just capped what we ground so it doesn't break up. We didn't do anything further on back.
Let's gravel further back.
Right, yeah. Okay. So we actually stopped. We actually left some of the old pavement before you get down to the Gravel Creek Bridge. That existing pavement, we didn't do anything with it. So it was just where we ground it up previously.
So we have a little over 2 miles of good pavement now. Is that right?
Not there.
It'd be less than 2 miles, but the paved part goes past the bridge west of Gravel Creek. Right. And that was all existing gravel from there on, right, all the way back to the end, back to the state property.
Yeah.
To the forest property.
So it's paved from the story end, 135.
Right, it's paved from 135 back to the, before it makes the 90 at Gravel Creek, okay. The reverse 90.
Very good. I got some calls thanking us for getting that done. It's always nice to get a call of positive good thank you. But the people down there, all but probably maybe one or something, are very happy about it. So that's
yes.
Pretty good.
And the people there at the story inn are thrilled, and the fact that we did it in the middle of the week too, so it didn't affect their weekend traffic. They really didn't have any, even at lunchtime, they didn't have any real traffic, so...
Good.
It worked out good for their schedule, too.
Very good.
Okay, other things, there was a question earlier this week about our annual bids. We, at the last meeting, you guys had approved that notice, so that's a 30-day notice, so those will be coming in at the next meeting. The first meeting in December will be the annual material bids that we do every year. Some other updates, we've been working on updating a lot of the stop signs. We found a lot of them that were faded or were not the new prismatic signs with the reflective sheeting. So when we've had time, I've had the guys kind of update some of those as we go around the county. So if you're out driving at night, you'll be able to see the signs a lot better now.
Yeah.
And we were also doing some, of course, earlier in the year, we had to do some of the weight limit sign updates and stuff, and I'll get to that in a minute. And then Ron had asked, Commissioner Sanders asked earlier about the trucks. We have one truck, with two trucks that are on order. One is more than likely get it next week. The other one, we still have an issue with some of the parts on the plow. So I told him I'd rather have it right before it got here because I didn't want to bring it down and have to send it back up to be fixed. So we're still working on that. So those are getting very close. And then other than that, this evening, they don't come in a lot, but since I mentioned to you earlier about we're doing all the field work for the phase 2 of the bridge inspection, so tonight, Rob Coop, who's the engineer for USI, who's in charge of doing the bridge inspections, all the field work, and managing his crew, so Rob came to the meeting tonight. I had showed you some pictures earlier of some stuff that he found on some deterioration, so we're working on some plans to get those either repaired, or we've got a couple that we're going to start looking at doing replacements on that have been in on our schedule to do anyway. So we're going to kind of get those accelerated and get started on doing the replacement plans and specs for those, so we can get those bid out and start looking for the funding sources that we need for those. So that's
just to make a comment on the supply chain. You ordered those trucks over 2 years ago now, is that correct?
Yes.
And we're just now getting
them. And we're lucky compared to some of the other counties that are ordered about the same time we did, and they were looking at late 24, early 25 to get the ones that they'd ordered in a different brand. So I think it's still ridiculous that it takes that long to get them, but every manufacturer seems to be about the same time frame. You go to order them, and they're telling you about 2 years out to get them, time to get the chassis in and get them upfitted. So more than likely what we need to start doing is getting into the mindset of, you know, we can't wait till we need a truck. We're going to have to start ordering them early, and and budget ahead for them, so we'll kind of create almost a queue fund for vehicles.
I remember getting an email, people wanting to buy our used trucks. They said the single axle ones are just unreal now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a couple single axles. I think I had to sell to somebody. Now they're going to have to tow them off, but we're planning on putting them on Dev deals anyway, so.
Can I ask a little question real quick?
Yes, sir.
I got a phone call from the paper about the winter preparedness. I figured the salt barn's already full.
Yes.
If we have to buy salt later in the year, is this on the pre-bid prices, or do they charge us whatever the market bears, or is that that time?
No, what we've done the last several years is they created through the One Indiana program through the state, and they opened it up to all the LPAs, to all the counties and cities and towns, to where early in the year, we have to give them a quantity of what we think we want to buy. And then they combine all of them together and bid them as one package statewide. So usually what happens, there's usually only two or three major suppliers, Morton, and a couple other ones. And a lot of times they'll go by like the NDOT districts, so like we're in the Seymour district, so the 25, 26 counties in the Seymour district will pretty much all have the same supplier for what you want. So that's an annual price, so it runs from July to July. Mm-hmm. So we have to, back in the late winter, early spring, we have to estimate what we're going to need for the next season and put that in our contract. So, and then we're required to buy a minimum of 80% of that, and if the material is available, we can get up to 120% of our quantity at that same fixed price per ton. So we're locked in from now until July of 2024.
We probably haven't run out in several years, though, have we?
No, but 2 years ago, we got really close. We were within a day's operation of being out, and a lot of the counties around, that was one of the major storms where other states were taking the salt. It wasn't even getting to Indiana. And so after multiple phone calls and begging and pleading and noting that we had a contract that they were required to deliver us materials, then they started bringing us material. You know, we get 5 or 6 dump trucks a day, so that doesn't go very far. But we did not run out. We were close. Like I said, we were within probably one snow of being out is the lowest we've ever been. But we had sand. So typically, right now the salt barn is probably, we could get a little more in it. We're probably at 85-90%, and we've got our mixed barn completely full, plus about half of the raw sand bins full. So we're in good shape for two or three events without having any more material brought in.
If we have to call an emergency, you, the sheriff, the commissioners, we're all monitoring that.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff and the police are out on the roads, and you're out on the roads, and Jens kind of direct us on that, and the EMA
right.
is on the roads, and we make that decision whether we declare emergency or not.
Right, and yeah, the school's also involved, so yeah, we kind of see what everybody's opinion is, put it all together, and then there's a map. Actually, EMA is the one that sends that. They're required to send that information to the state, but if you go online and Google, there's actually a state emergency map that'll show the green, yellow, red status.
Yeah.
So if it goes to red, it's a no travel. You can get a ticket for it, which people don't pay attention to. Yellow's the advisory, stay off the road unless you're going to work or it's an emergency. So as the events hit, and we see, you know, there's sometimes where we'll have snow and we'll just leave it as green because it's something that's, you know, if it's going to melt in a few hours and be gone, it's not worth declaring any kind of a travel status, travel warning. But a lot of times if we're getting an accumulation of snow, we'll go to yellow, which is just an advisory for people to pay attention. But then if it gets really bad and schools are shut down, other offices are shut down, you know, county offices are shut down, there's times when it's rare, but there are times when it goes to red, which is a no travel warning, and then law enforcement can write you a ticket for being on the road unauthorized. And the really frustrating one, I'll throw that in, a couple of years ago is we had a red travel warning, and over at the White House at the school had been building. Parents were bringing their kids into town to sled right on the hill behind the school during a red no travel warning, and then complaining to us because the roads weren't all cleared yet. Okay, it's a red travel warning, stay home, you know.
There's always at least 25% that don't get the word, no matter what it is.
You know, but...
But while we're on that...
There you go, let's talk about that. Is that the burn ban?
I was supposed to get ready to talk about two things. We're in an El Nino situation, which they're forecasting. Some parts of the country are going to get a lot of snow this winter. Depending on whose map you look at, we're in that or we're not in it. So, you know how the weather is, but for what it's worth. The other thing that Ron brought up is we are under a burn ban as of this morning. Commissioners signed off on that, and there's no burning whatsoever in the county until further notice. If we get some rain, enough rain, Friday or next Tuesday, and possibly, or whenever we get enough rain, we'll lift it. But right now, it's so dry and it's so easy for a fire to get away. We just don't want anybody starting a fire. So pass that word around. I know there's a lot of, I don't know, how do we disseminate that?
That's on the website, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the website.
Newspaper's been notified.
Yes.
Paper, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody's got websites, they might post that.
Yeah.
I want to think, though, that in that, it said somebody can actually still use a grill.
Yeah, it does say that.
Grill, charcoal, mm-hmm. gas, that it has to be attended, and it has to be put out when you're done.
Complete.
And I want to think, even out at the park, they can have campfires.
If you're in a fire ring.
If it's in a fire
ring. In a fire ring.
And it has to be
And it's attended. Mm-hmm. And it has to be put out when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be careful.
We had a lady who got a fire, had a fire that got out of control inadvertently. She put some stuff in to burn. It didn't light off right away. She went in the house. And then it took fire. And it burned up half of her yard. It's got to put out. So,
if it gets windy,
yeah,
she had to fight it with her own water hose because it was getting quick. It was going very quick.
Well, then there's the one on Salt Creek, Monday, mm-hmm. on Salt Creek Road and up the hillside.
Yeah,
right here off the highway. But Rob, okay. You'll come up and say anything while you're here. Any kind of update from the field work?
I can certainly. We've got all the field work completed for the bridges. Now we're
just, your name, sir.
Oh, sorry. Rob Coop, U.S. Land Consultants.
Thank you.
Got all the field work completed for the bridges last month, which of the 12 months in the year, I'm not quite sure why you guys got October, which it is beautiful down here, but it's kind of hard to get around at times. All the extra people. But the field work's done. We're working on the report. We can certainly, after we go over it with Mike with the draft report, come down and give a complete update on where we're at. There are, you know, not quite a few, 10 or so bridges that we know that need to get started on the replacement list. We got a couple of those started tonight, and there's some more as we program it out the next few years. So some of it's just the unfortunate bridge type that they are. They're just not lasting as long as they should. So other than that, things are, you know, Mike's got a good job going, and he gets bugged by me a lot, so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. Anything else, Mike?
No, sir. I think that's it, unless you have any other questions.
Okay. Hearing none, I guess we'll move on to...
Employment resolution.
Yes. We have an elected official who's going to have to be away for a few days.
They're not elected, are they?
No, she's appointed.
Well, I'm sorry, not elected, appointed.
She's a department head.
The plan commission. So we have spoken with a former employee, which is Chris Ritzman, who used to head up the planning department. And she's going to come in for a few days to cover that while Kayla's gone. So we have a pretty simple service agreement here for that, which I think we will approve unless there's some horrible objections. Anybody have
Mike wrote it, Mike Moga. So you can talk to him, he's on there.
Yeah. I think he's seen it, he's fine with it.
He actually
construction. Okay, yeah.
Has that got the resolution number on it? Have we got to state the resolution number? Do you have that?
Shouldn't have the resolution number on there. But I can give you one. You want to write it?
Let's see, effective this day, 15th day of November. I'm looking to see where, if there is a place for it. I don't see a place for it, but if you want to give me the number, I'll write it at the top.
2023-11.
-15.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the service agreement. Looks like for 30 days, up to 30 days. Yeah. Resolution 2023-11-15-001.
Okay, we have a motion. I'll second that motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Kevin Allen, you are up next, sir. I'm sorry we cut you off at the last meeting.
Quite all right.
But I have a two-hour limit rule, and we hit that 2 hours, so I thank you for your patience and coming back at our next meeting.
Sure. I know that various discussions have taken place regarding funding for the prosecutor's office, amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
And our experience, here's a few from you guys, with the Water Resources Department, with BMOMS and NAF, I don't want to start over now, I'm at the microphone. Hi, my name's Kevin Allen, I'm here in Brown County, I'm with BMOMS and NAF. Over the past few months, we've heard numerous conversations about concern about being able to fund in the need for the new prosecutor's office with the shortage of funds and the overages back and forth, the uncertainty of the cost of the courthouse, the needed courthouse annex, ultimately was followed through on, so we got that done. The handout I just gave you is something that we at BLN have used in the past as an alternative to the traditional design, bid, build program that we're also used to, where you select an architect and engineer, you negotiate a scope out, we need a bridge, we need a garage for the highway department, they agree to set of plans, they say here how much it's going to cost, you have sticker shock. I think that what we've outlined here in this handout is several ways that you can avoid that sticker shock and have a faster, more desirable project upon completion. The big thing that we would look at here on the first page, we see three options. A design build, which most of us have heard about, where you get a reputable contractor, you negotiate a scope, and you tell them, okay, we can afford $1 million highway garage, something. So he commits to a design build, hires his own architect, stuff, gets all the state planning permits, and kind of a turnkey thing. Drawback to these first three is the county still has to secure long-term financing. You have to have the money in the bank to do this. The other two, beside the traditional design build, are the construction manager at risk, not too much different than a design build. And then the guaranteed savings contract. Now, I know I talked to Mr. Sanders concerning guaranteed savings contract when they're talking about replacing air handling units at the jail. Guaranteed savings contract is set up for, my associate Pete Wamsley can jump in if I misspeak here, for energy savings. Something as simple as finding a way to finance to change all the light bulbs in a school corporation from incandescent to LED, okay? Your financing is pro-rate rated based on the amount of money you'll save by doing the improvement. In the wastewater industry and water resources, we typically do that to replace inefficient blowers in a wastewater treatment plant, replace bad pumps with a more efficient model and lift stations and so forth. And a big one that people don't think about is when we separate combined sewers, get the stormwater out of the sewage flow. That way the rainwater is not running through your wastewater treatment plant, overloading it, causing it to work too much harder, costing you additional electric power and chemicals and all that stuff. So the good part about those first three is you are in part, you as the owner are part of the design team. You are in the meetings, you're seeing the revisions, you're getting updated throughout the development of the project. The fun one for you guys are going to be, if you flip the page, let's not skip the bottom paragraph here. The next two that we'll talk about are called what's called BOT, or Build, Operate, Transfer, and Best Value. The benefit of a BOT is you don't have to have the money in the bank. You don't have to encumber your borrowing capacity, okay? You would engage in a design team again that would also include, in addition to the contractor, the architect, engineer, and the owner, there would be private financing. They would set up a lease, if you will. Let's talk about the prosecutor's office. You'd be involved in the design with the team. The scope would be put there, how many square foot you need, how many offices, two floors, one floor, are we going to bring in, is there any other office space around the county we need to think about enlarging what we're building? The building, all those things can be discussed during that process. The project is developed. You're seeing the budget as you go, and at any time you can say, that's about all I can afford. So it's done. You got guaranteed contract. It's turnkey. And you would then, there's multiple options here, but you could basically pay rent to the group. This would be very similar to what you do with jail financing, where you have a jail corp, and you have a 20-year bond note with the jail corp, and you're paying them monthly or semi-annually for the jail. Again, this is something that you have more flexibility with, and it does not put long-term debt on the county. So if you're looking at how am I going to do my $3 million capital improvement loan next year, and what was I going to do with that, this method would let you keep that borrowing capacity separate and available for your other capital improvement projects that you typically have used it on, and your prosecutor's office would then be a monthly, bi-monthly, whatever payment, biannual payment, that doesn't hurt your credit rating. Now, having said all that, I'm not your financial advisor. Mike Moga, Barnes and Thornburgs, they've written some good papers on this alternative financing law in Indiana. Baker Tilly, who's also in your pool of talent you can reach out to, they're well-versed in this, and if you decide to pursue this, I'd recommend a work session, and we could go through some specific details to point out the pros and cons of every one of these methods. Now, having said all that, looking at how you are set with your finances, I wish there was a council member here. I think I'm going to need to repeat this to them. I think a BOT, or Build, Operate, Transfer, would be a very, very interesting option for you to pursue as you're looking on how to juggle the finances and get a prosecutor's office going. Again, and I'll let Pete step in here. This is Pete Wamsley. He's the deputy director of our Water Resources Department, and he can tell you some of the things that he's done with these and how much it's helped the clients, especially Muncie Sanitary District, do things with alternative financing.
Yeah, so for the record, I am Pete Wamsley of BLN. Kevin did a great job explaining everything. I just wanted to add that these alternatives that are listed here, we really kind of did a deep dive in the Indiana state code to make sure that there is actual code reference to these. A lot of times you hear about alternate procurement for private developments, but there's definitely a place for them in the public sector too. So we just wanted to verify that these options are indeed options, and we've referenced our Indiana code sources there. The only one that's not a clear-cut option is the last one, number 5. It's called the Best Value Contract, and that is currently covered under Title 8 of the Indiana Code, which is for utilities and transportation. So NDOT has used this for some private-public partnerships, but it's not quite clear if we can use that for, you know, like an above-ground building. But all the other ones have been used before. You could research successful BOT applications. I know fire houses have been built all across the state using the BOT option. And you may wonder, why would a BOT provider take on that financing? Well, the reason is they would literally own the building, which is a, if not appreciating asset, a very fixed valued asset. And so that's on their books. That's why they're willing to kind of take on your debt temporarily. And like Kevin said, it would be a rent situation where once you do have the capacity to pay back your debt, you can pay back. So thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. We'd be happy to answer any questions. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right. I think we need to look at all the options before we leap into anything further.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trust me, you could probably sit down for an hour or two on each one of these things, ask 20 questions, and you'd still become away wondering which one is best for me. So my goal tonight was just to present very, very brief the options that are out there, and especially to point out that given everything I've heard the last few months, last year, I think looking into a lot type of contract for the prosecutor's office would be pretty advantageous to the county. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Do you,
patience.
Do you have any kind of plan where we wouldn't have to borrow any money, pay no interest, do no bonds, pay our debt off, and improve our S&P rating at the same time?
Well, are you talking about the prosecutor's office or life in general?
The prosecutor office, jail. That's the main two projects I think we're looking at.
I think the prosecutor's office, what would be the plus on that is exactly what you're saying. You'd work with your financial advisor, Baker Tilly, in the auditor's office and figure out how much can we pay, okay? What are you spending on maintenance and such, and what are your potential repairs to keep the current prosecutor's office open on one hand, and how much more is it going to cost you to pay basically a rent to own? And I'm sorry if I overlooked that when I was playing this first. The BOT would be, you would pay it out to a certain number of years that you'd agreed with the financial part of the team, and when that payment is complete in 15 years, it is a county asset at that time. Okay, you just don't have to encumber your bonding and borrowing capacity to do that. So,
I believe the one thing I did miss would be the demolition on the old prosecutor office.
Again, this is why it's a wide open scope. It can be an all-inclusive turnkey project.
I'm probably missing something, but we probably have to, after we demo the old one, we'll have to re-blacktop the parking lot there.
These projects, a bot project on that, your scope, whatever you decide your scope would be, repaving the parking lot, demoing, hauling all the way, doing the landscaping, everything and anything that you would want, including furnishings, desks, chairs, internet, computers.
Now you're thinking.
Can all be included into a one lump sum, not to exceed project that's guaranteed once you say go. And it's a turnkey, and in 14 months, the prosecutor moves into a new building. Now here's where it gets really creative. If there is a space around town, say second part of the professional building right across the from the courthouse. Part of it could be that you would incur costs to renovate a certain area, make it usable. I've not been in it, but I've heard horror stories about it. But you could fix up office space in the professional building across from the courthouse. Prosecutors can temporarily move there. The person that owns the professional building could look at this and say, you fix it, I'll charge you $1 a month rent, and when you leave, they have improved office space that's usable. Okay? So, get creative. You can cut your creative juices loose with this and have yourself a very tightly run project that I think you won't have any regrets about.
Is there anything else in there, Jerry, that I missed that you can think of? We're doing prosecutor office, the jail ACs, and there may be some other boiler work or some... I'm not pulling up the words, but there's all kinds of little electrical sensors and stuff that has to be there, and I heard the number 30, 40,000 on that possibly.
On the jail?
Yeah, there's some, you got to tie the systems in together.
The merge on the courthouse.
Yeah. Huh?
The merge on the courthouse.
No, I don't think we want to do the first floor on the courthouse. I think we have enough money that we should be able to build some walls and keep it out of this loan. I'd like for that to get started sooner rather than
later. We need to have just a financial day where we just sit and look through all that stuff.
Well, I thought that from the loans from last time that we talked that the $149.95 plus the wiring and plumbing comes out of that. There should still be enough money to do the rehab for the and the probation department for the community corrections to move there. I pulled a number out of $20,000. I can't imagine these walls costing more than that.
Okay.
So I don't know that we even need an engineer. Couldn't we just get a contractor to do that? That's like we did the wall down here in the IT room.
Maintenance guys did it.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Maintenance guys did it.
No, they brought in a guy. They finished it. They brought in a guy to put it together. That was like $2,200.
Well, they built that stuff. Did they have to get one when they built the dish or the inside to the courthouse and remodeled it? Did we have to get an engineer for that? Do you remember?
Are you talking about when Steve Miller remodeled the upstairs courthouse?
Yeah.
I think someone did because
they
were talking, the reason they were doing that is to make the courtroom more ADA compliant.
Yeah. And they were doing it so, and that being a historical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had an architect design those changes.
The only thing I would say is when you're talking about changing access and room sizes and stuff in an old building is there would be access codes, mainly ADA, and there's some safety aspects that you'd have to have someone take a cursory look at. If it's below a certain square footage, what's it, 600 square feet? If you're doing work below I think it's around 600 square feet.
It should be. The two little offices are 8x8.
Okay.
So that's 160 square feet.
Then you're below
20.
If you're below this 500 or 600 square foot threshold, then you're exempt from even worrying about ADA compliance with the state fire and building or Dallas Homeland Security.
The only other thing I remember is a pay window. They're going to put a pay window in it. There's a door that's already there that's like a false door,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to put the pay window there. Now, I'm not 100% sure that I know what I'm talking about, but I think it's feasible to try and move forward with that. We need some more information and some bids, and if we have to have an engineer, we can get an engineer.
I'll just say one more thing. It sounds like you might have a budget in mind that you're targeting
right, with
a lot of wish list items. A good thing about having one of these alternate procurement options is that you're selecting a contractor based on qualifications, not on a bid. In fact, you don't even have... You don't have to wait until the bids come in to realize that you have a bust that's over your budget. You know what I mean? You could say, all right, you're allowed to do a project and it's not going to exceed $150,000. You will have a partner contractor on your team who will, you know, actively give you feedback and say, yeah, I think we can include this, we cannot include this. So that's another good thing about going with these alternate procurement options. You could specifically meet a budget rather than be kind of locked into a bid. So.
Are all of these options possible because we're taxpayer funded and they know they're going to get their money?
That's probably part of it, but it's all in the code. I think there's been a lot of really reputable contractors work with state officials to change the code so that it doesn't always go to the lowest bidder, but rather goes to people who are qualified to do specific types of work. And that's where this kind of comes from. Qualification-based services is kind of a buzzword now with NDOT and other entities all over the state. Is that fair?
Yeah. And what I will do is if Mike's and Barbara's on the phone, Mike, I'll forward you this document so you can chime in on what you think is appropriate for the county to look at, okay?
Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Everything else?
I'm waiting for you to show signs of wisdom here. I'm done.
Thank you. Thanks for your time, guys.
Well, I think we definitely need to look at these options and see what fits Brown County the best and saves taxpayers the most money. Rather than just going out and having an architect design it and put it out for bid and, you know, the whole process. You know, I think there's an opportunity here to save some money on these projects. So I'm in favor of looking at all the options to see what you do. Nothing's cheap anymore. Anytime you start building something, you've got a lot of variables can't necessarily be defined right up front. So we need to limit our risk in undertaking these projects and not start something that we think is going to cost $1 million and wind up being $2 million. Thank you very much, Kevin. And
my welcome.
Both of you, yes. Okay. All right.
You down to legal?
Yep. You got anything, Mike?
Nothing on that. Just waiting on those documents, Mr. Kevin. I appreciate the presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else to come before the Board of Commissioners tonight? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion for
adjournment. I make a motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for joining us on the internet. And you all have a wonderful evening.
Did you want to announce about Blake's mom?
Oh, yes, I will go ahead and say that Commissioner Wolford is not here tonight because his mother passed away a couple of days ago. He's really tied up right now because she's in Texas and she has to be brought back here for the funeral. And that's an involved process getting that all accomplished and all arranged.